share this scripture that reminds us all in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20, that it tells us, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" Isn't that amazing? That we are called to go and make disciples. I mean, and they don't happen automatically. How many know that that's the truth? It's just, we have to go. And today, that's exactly what I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about going. And, you know, Pastor Zach last week also mentioned that we had said yes to the one true God. When you first came to the Lord, you said yes to the one and true God. The other thing that we did is we said yes to the God who loves us. We said yes to the God who makes promises. We said yes to the God who is always faithful. Amen. And that is true for every one of us that are here today. Maybe you're here, you were invited, and if you haven't said yes to him, today you're going to have an opportunity at the end of this message to say yes to God. But I want everyone here that have already put their trust in Jesus to note that he wants us to continue to say yes to him, and that to remind us that what we said yes to. And everybody should have received one of these little booklets. Did you guys receive one of these? Everyone? Yes? Can you raise it? Just make sure. If you didn't get one, go ahead and ask one of our ushers. They should be able to get you one. Get one in your hands, ushers, if you would help. If anybody that didn't get one, you guys can go ahead and just raise your hand. The reason why I'm saying is because everything that is up here, you'll notice it's here. Pastor Zach talked about it last week. Today we're gonna look at what we said yes to. And that is the reason why it's important, is because God wants to remind us, again, to have tools in our hands. Sometimes we don't know how to speak, what to say. And this booklet is a great reminder to all of us and a good tool for us to go and talk to people about Jesus. Another thing that Pastor Zach reminded us last week I believe we have a diagram here of just how there's, in the past, we saw people, there's a greater amount of people that were familiar with God. And that would go to church because everyone, it seemed like, to know more, know a lot about God. But you know, and they were going to enter into a building and hear about the word. But today, in the future, we see that number of people that are familiar with God is actually shrinking. And less people are going into a building to hear about Jesus, about God, and to hear about the word. And that causes the church to actually say, hey, you know what, we need to go out. Before, you know, we would expect people to come in. But now I believe, just like Teresa's doing, you know, we need to go out. The church needs to go out. How many can agree with that? Amen? We need to go out of these four walls and say, or maybe this one has more than four walls, but you know, just what I'm saying is that we need to go out and talk to people and let people know, not wait for people to come to a church building to hear the message of the good news. But actually, us, as ambassadors of Christ, prepared and equipped to go out and speak to everyone that comes across us about the Lord. So I believe that as we do that, that God is going to reveal himself, just like we prayed today for Teresa, reveal himself with miracles, with signs, with wonders, with healings, with experiences that are far out of your imagination. And if we do that, I believe we're being obedient to the Great Commission, as we heard in Matthew 28, to go out and make disciples and teach people of all the things that Jesus has taught us. Let us pray. God, we thank you today. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity you've given me to speak before this wonderful body, Lord. And I pray that today you would open up our hearts, that you would open up our minds, that you would open up, Lord, those areas, those caverns, those empty places, and that you would fill them. Those empty places of our souls, Lord, remind us, Lord, of your faithfulness, of who you are in us. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Today we're going to be looking at a how the gospel of Jesus is all about saving people. It's all about reaching people. It's about bringing hope to their situation. Where there is shame or guilt, there is forgiveness through Jesus. So we could experience the freedom, and so that we can get to know him and enter into a relationship with him. You know, it's important that we realize that, and we see ourselves. Pastor Tim talked about this a couple of weeks ago. And he mentioned that we are ambassadors of Christ, speaking for Christ to this world. Well, let me ask you, have you ever met a salesperson? How many of you guys met a salesperson? How many of you guys met a Raider fan? Right? I'm kidding. What do they talk about all the time? If a salesperson talks about whatever they're selling, the product, right? What does a Raider fan always talk about? The losing streak. I'm kidding. Wow, I got more claps on that one than the previous all about Jesus stuff. You know what's going on? I'm kidding. But we are going to speak of what is close and near to our hearts. Amen. We're going to talk about those things that have a hold of our heart. And so when you meet a Christian, what do you hear from them? What should you hear from them? Jesus, the good news, the hope that is in us. But what happens most of the time is that us, those that said yes to Jesus, to follow him, we end up getting scared or afraid of not messing up. What am I going to speak? What am I going to say? How am I going to lead this person to the Lord? And then we end up getting all these thoughts in our minds that actually stop us or hinder us from actually sharing the good news. Or even it could be other things, not just that, but it could be shame, it could be guilt. But I believe that the Lord wants us today to remind us, hey, you are my son. You have been commended. You have been given all this authority through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And as an ambassador, you are to speak on behalf of the kingdom of God. We speak what is important to us. And that is something that we have to remember. What is important to my life? Is Jesus important? If he is, then I believe that every time someone comes to you and starts sharing their situation, their problems, they start unloading, unpacking, then what we are to do is to remind them of the hope that is in us, not actually go along and say, yeah, you should leave that guy. Right? Oh, yeah, you know what? Forget it. That boss was a jerk to me too. See what I'm saying? This is what we are to do. We are to call forth life in the situation that is arising, you know, that is coming and is presenting itself to us. And we are to say yes to what God is saying for that person's life. Saying, God, what do you want to speak in that person's life? Not what I believe, not what experience has taught me, not what tradition or culture tells me, right? But actually what God has wanted to speak into that person's life. I want to ask you something. Remember the person that came to you for the first time and spoke to you about salvation. Can you remember that moment? Can you go back to that single place? You were probably in your couch. You're probably in your car. You're probably at work. Beto talked about it last week, right? Where were you when you first heard that message, the good news of the good news? Where were you? And just think about it for a moment. That person that said yes to God to speak into your life, what was he telling you or what was she telling you? Did you feel a need to come to the Lord in that moment? Or did you wait and say, hey, you know what? You probably rejected that person several times. I know I did. You probably said no to that person. You didn't want to hear that message because you knew that that message meant you needed to give up stuff. I don't want to go there. Because if I go there, I know Jesus Oh, I need to be perfect. I need to be right. I need to do things the right way. I can't follow that message that you're telling me. I can't follow that Jesus that you're telling me. But let me tell you that that person that spoke, at least in my life, and I don't know about that person in your life, but they never gave up. Or it might have been your parent leading you to the feet of Jesus. But whatever it is, with that person, let me tell you, they had the courage, they had the audacity to say, you know what, put themselves aside, put whatever they knew aside and said, you know what, that person needs hope. That person needs Jesus. How did you feel after you said yes to salvation? What did we say yes to? We said yes to salvation. Can you remember that time? Can you say yes? You know, hey, I felt like something just fell off my shoulders. Big burden just was relieved from my shoulders. The reason why I ask you these things is because if we truly believe when we said yes to Jesus, to salvation, that we are saved, if we truly believe that we are saved, when was the last time you felt the need to share this salvation with others so that they too are saved? The urge to say, hey, I know I got saved. I know the Lord brought me to his feet. When was the last time you said, I have the urge, the need, just like a salesman has the need to meet sales quotes, right? But they do it for a wrong reason. They do it just for a worldly reason. They need to pay the bills. But let me tell you, there's people dying without Jesus today. How could that come into my heart and say, God, can you remind me every time that I want to criticize somebody, hey, that person needs hope, that person needs Jesus? In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, I don't know many of you have it up there, tells us, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, but God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us what? Life. When he raised Christ from the dead. And it is only, can you say it is only? Amen. By God's grace that you have been saved. It is only by God's grace that we have been saved. You and I can't do anything to receive salvation. You and I can't work at salvation. We can't be perfect. We can never do those things. But Jesus already did those for us. Sometimes guilt wants to come in, sin in our lives, and that hinders us from sharing the gospel. When we said yes to Jesus, we were dead because of sin. It is only because of Jesus that we are alive in him. To share God's salvation with others is a sign that we are alive in him. I don't know if you heard me this morning, church, but to share God's salvation with others is a sign that we are alive in him, that we have him in our hearts, that the ever-present mercy and love of God that reached us so that others could experience the same love and the same mercy. That is what is in us. When we are alive in him, we say, God, I know you're alive in me. I need to share this life with others. It may look like a prayer. It may look like just being there for somebody when someone is going through a rough time. Let me tell you that those are the things that we are to the church. And when I say we, the church needs to rise up and say, hey, I'm going to be instead of I'm going to do. We're not going to go do stuff just to do them. We're going to go and be because that's who we are. Sometimes you may ask yourself, well, how can I lead someone to Christ? How can I do this? I'm going to ask Ron to come on up really quick. He's going to share with us how just using this simple yes booklet, and I say simple, but in reality it's deep, how we can lead someone to Christ. Ron, what happened this week or this last couple of weeks that you were able to use this and tell us of what happened, man?
Guy, been born again for 42 years. I gave my life to the Lord in 22 when I was 22. And I'm used to tracks. That's how I grew up, with tracts. We used what they are, little books like these, and you give people something for them to read. How many remember? I mean, if you're that old with me, yeah, your tracts, right? And so when I saw this Yes booklet, I go, that's nothing more than a tract. So I had to read it first to understand what the tract was saying, the booklet, so that I could actually share it. So I belong to a Toastmasters club where you learn how to talk. I'm still trying to do that effectively. And there was a gentleman there, he's 80 years old, Vietnam vet, and I just had a serious attraction to him. But now I know that it was the Spirit of God in me. It wasn't anything like, you know, a male thing, you know what I mean? I mean, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't me being funny. I mean, it was just, I just knew the Spirit of God in me attracted to him. How many understand what I'm saying? Okay, so just to get that clear in some of your minds.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm glad my wife's not here. She'd probably have a question about that. But I knew I had this attraction toward him, and I thought it was because we were both Vietnam vets. You know, I'm thinking in my natural mind. And so I gave this speech on the fall of Freddie the Leaf. And just real short, it's just about a leaf on a tree, and they're going to die because fall has come. And you know the story, how autumn comes, spring comes, leaves come. It's just a whole cycle thing. And he said to me, Ron, I feel like I'm Freddie the Leaf about to fall from the tree, and I don't know where I'm going. Well, that just freaked me out because I wasn't ready, right? And so I'm scrambling, like, what do I say to this guy? And he said to me, he says, Ron, you're like that wise leaf on the tree to tell all the other leaves where they're going when they fall. You see, I'm going to tell you something. See, we like to have the details about what God's telling us, but I'm going to tell you sometimes details can get you in trouble. See, we just need to say yes to the Lord and let him bring the details to you as you go forth with your yes. So I just felt all of a sudden that if I don't get to this guy soon, he could die on me and I would have missed my opportunity to give him a yes moment.
Come on.
And so when I went home, I was telling my wife, I said, honey, I need to call him right now. She said, it's like 11 o'clock at night. And I said, Father God, please let him live another day and give me an opportunity. Are you feeling me? Because, see, when you're at that moment where you know you got to give somebody something, you don't, especially when you know you hold the keys to life, you don't want that person to die on you without giving them an opportunity to say yes.
Yeah.
Can I breathe for a minute?
Can you, what?
Yeah, I want to breathe for a
minute. Oh, I thought you said brief.
Yeah.
I'm not brief.
I want to breathe.
Okay.
I want to say this. Thank you, every one of you, for modeling what Christ looked like to Mark Castro. I seen him every day, every time I come here, and I'm so thankful that you, in your yes, coming here, being here to worship God, and you don't know how much you encouraged him. So when he was baptized and he's before the Lord, God is saying to you, thank you for your yes. Thank you for saying yes. Thank you for saying yes and amen. If I say yes, can somebody say amen?
Amen.
I say yes
amen.
And amen.
Amen.
So I said, Father, give me this opportunity to speak to Jim. And the next morning, I couldn't wait. The alarm clock, I beat the alarm clock. And I called him and I said, Jim, I want to offer you something for your eternal salvation. 80 years old, never received Christ in his life. And right there on the phone, I shared with him what it means to say yes to the Lord to receive salvation. I wasn't there to lay hands on him, but God was there.
Yeah.
And when I finished sharing with him, and you know what he said to me? Thank you, Ron. Amen.
Oh, amen. Thank you, Ron. I love that. You know, sometimes details get us into trouble. Sometimes we think we need to know all this stuff. But let me tell you that it's as simple as saying yes to Jesus. It's all you need to say. Thank you. You know, when we say yes to the Lord, again, there's this growth that happens in us to actually go out and speak to others. There's not only do we say yes to salvation, but we also say yes to hope. We say yes to hope, those areas that are hopeless in our lives. We say yes to it. When we look at the world around us today, we see a world full of hopelessness, right? When the children of God keep silent, the light of hope gets dimmer and dimmer, I believe. There are people that are suffering and dying without Jesus today. And like Ron said, I think most of us in here have felt that way. Lord, let them live another day. Because today I'm a little tired. I don't know if I have the time. I don't know if I have the words. I remember as a young teenager, I was a freshman in high school, and I lived in a home where my mom was going to church and my dad was not. How many can kind of say, hey, I can relate to that? I thank God for moms. unfortunately, man, I'm telling you, moms make up a lot of the church body. Women do. And I remember that my dad wasn't, he was not doing well, and my mom kept going to church, even though my dad, and then she had a, my dad wasn't going, even though my dad wasn't going, but she had a rebellious kid at home. You know, I believe it had to do with the absence of a parent. You know, my dad wasn't always present, and so even though he was there, he wasn't present. And so I believe there was a lot of things in my life. There's issues, attention and affirmation as a kid. But as a kid, I remember growing up, and the way my dad was like able to affirm me or teach me was like, hey, son, if there's anybody that wants to come at you, I'm going to teach you how to box. And I was like, sure, I'll learn how to box. But I was like, why do I need a box, Dad? He's like, you never know, kid. You never know. You just need to know how to defend yourself. And I was like, all right, cool, whatever. And I started learning a little bit of boxing. And I felt like those moments were quality moments with my dad. But then I got older. I got into, again, as a teenager and adolescent. So then I started kind of like ignoring my dad. I don't know if you guys have teenagers here or adolescents. But now my daughter, she's getting into that age, 12. And she's like, where are you going, Dad? And I'm like, I'm going here. I don't want to go. Right? Yeah, so I don't know. That's how I was with my dad. I used to always want to go with him. And he ended up, they came at a time where I didn't want to go with him anymore. But that led me into getting into situations where I was getting fights and getting up. It was really bad in my life. And to the point where there's something in me that I said, hey, you know what? As a kid, I said, I'm not going to let myself get pushed around by anybody. I'm going to take respect. I'm not going to give respect. There was all that stuff. I was messed up as a kid. But there's one of the things that I believe that happened was there is mom there always reminding me all the time, son, you're not the same as everybody else. How many need to tell that to somebody this morning? So you're not the same as everybody else. I was like, what does that mean, mom? I was like, are you saying that, like, I'm weird or something, I don't know. But she's like, no, son, you're a son of God, and you weren't meant to be rebellious. You were meant to serve the Lord and all these things. And I was like, mom, I don't want to hear this stuff, right? Because I wanted to do my own things. It led me into a situation where I got into a situation with some guys, and it became really tough because the guys that I used to hang around with, I went to them. It became so bad. There was other guys that wanted to beat me up, and I wanted help. I needed help. I needed help from my friends and my help. When I went to them and I said, "Hey guys, you guys need to help me out. These guys want to jump me," and jump me means not like jump over me. It means like, "Hey, we're gonna beat you up." For those that don't know those terms, but jump. They wanted to beat me up, and I remember I didn't want to go to my mom because you know what she was gonna say. Son, you need to surrender your life to the Lord. So I went to what I knew I could go to, which is friends. And I said, hey, can you guys help me out? They said, no, we can't help you out because these guys overrank us. And these guys have done more things for the people that, for the gangs and all this stuff. And I remember I felt hopeless for the first time. Those friends that I thought were there and they were going to help me out, they wanted to, but they couldn't. And I remember those words came to my mind when my mom was saying, "Son, you're not the same as everybody else. You need to surrender yourself to the Lord." So I remember at 2 a.m, I asked God, "God, can you help me?" I opened up the scripture, and in Proverbs, I heard for the first time, "When the ways of men are pleasing to the Lord, he makes his enemies be at peace with them." But I remember that scripture was full of hope for me. Because I said, "God, if this is true, this is going to come to pass in my life." And I remember as I grabbed onto that promise and I started seeking the Lord, I surrendered myself to the Lord. I said, "God, I'm going to start today. I don't know what this looks like. I'm going to do it today." And I remember as I did it, I'm not going to lie to you guys, it was like if these guys had fallen off the face of the earth. I didn't hear about them. I wasn't in contact with them. But I remember that same night, I was like, "God, where are my enemies? Almost like, where'd they go? It was always present because they were waiting for me outside school. They're waiting for me at my friend's house. But this time it was like, where are they?" And I remember that as I kept seeking the Lord, God was beginning to show me his faithfulness, what Pastor Zach talked about last week. Showed me, "Hey, if you put your trust in me." But then it wasn't over. It was like, "Hey, here's hope for you. But now you got to share it with others." And I want to read to you what this scripture, I believe, is what God was speaking in my life. It's Lamentations chapter 3, verse 19 through 23. And this is what the prophet Jeremiah talks and says, "The thought of my suffering and homelessness is bitter beyond words. It says, I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning." It was in that morning when I said yes to Jesus for the first time. Even though I've grown up in church, I hadn't said yes to Jesus. So if you're here today and you've grown up in church, doesn't mean you have said yes to the Lord. I'm encouraging you today to say yes to Jesus and surrender to him. So when I did that, let me tell you that I started sharing the hope that was in me with others. You know, the circle that Pastor Zach talked about last week, the circle of hope. When we said yes to God, the faithful God who makes promises, ignites hope for us to share and hold to it. Let me tell you, that's exactly what I began doing. I started sharing the gospel with my friends. My friends thought I was crazy. My friends thought that, "Hey, you know what? This guy must have smoked something. Wasn't right. Kind of cuckoo in the head." And you know what they used to always say? They used to always say, "We want the real Joel back, man. I don't know what you did to him. But we want that other guy that used to get down all the time and used to smoke with us and used to do this stuff." And let me tell you that, I said, "This is the real Joel, man. I'm telling you, this is what my mom was always telling me. This is who you are, son." And they said, "Man," and then that's when everything began to, I believe, make sense for me when I said yes to Jesus, when I said yes to hope. It was like, "Hey, this hope is not just for you." But as I shared it with others, there was a time where there's this one guy came to me. One of my friends said, "Hey," on Friday, he was coming and he was shaking. I kid you not, I could tell he was like sweating. He was saying, "Joel, I want to stop. I want to stop drinking. I just don't know how." And I hated that it's Friday because I know I'm going to start drinking. And I said, "You know what? Don't worry, bro." I said, "Let's pray." And I remember, again, this is a 14-year-old over here talking to this guy, this other, he was a junior. And I was telling him, "Hey, you know what? Let's put our hope in God." That's what I did. And then he tells me, "How did you do it?" And I said, "Hey, this is all you got to do." And I started praying with him. He started coming to church. I led him to the Lord. But let me tell you, it doesn't stop there. This guy is like, yes, I want to start going. But sometimes, and I believe that sometimes when we see, we don't see the fruit right away. I've not been in contact with him, but I know that he's doing a lot better because of friends that tell me. When we share, we are shining the light of hope that is within us. And we are bringing hope to people, no matter how hopeless they may feel. It is so that they could, too, experience the hope that we have. However, sometimes we don't share with others this hope because we feel unworthy or because we feel that God has forgotten us, that he prefers others, that others do it better than we do. God is with you, and he'll forgive you if you ask him to. And he wants you to share. He has chosen you today to say yes to him, for those that are here today, to share that message of hope with others so that others can say yes to him. And when they do, let me tell you that is when we have become obedient to the Lord. We are sending this message of hope, of salvation to others all over the world, all over the corners of Santa Maria. How many can say Santa Maria needs hope? Santa Maria needs Jesus. And let me tell you that whenever the children of God keep quiet, the light of hope keeps getting dimmer and dimmer. When I heard this message of hope, of salvation, I remember I experienced forgiveness like never before. So another thing we say yes to, what we say yes to is, we say yes to forgiveness. Manuel, I don't know if you could put that up there. This means not that, this doesn't mean that when we first asked for forgiveness, our initial sinner's prayer, but as we are growing in our relationship with Jesus, I believe that when we first said, God, forgive me, for the first time, we're saying yes to him, and we're saying, God, I am appropriating of all the things that you have promised for my life. What holds us back from sharing has to do with our inability to see ourselves how God sees us. Rather, we look at what we do or have done and determine our future based on that one single action and believe that lie that our time has passed by and that one moment, that our moment is no longer present, that our moment will no longer be there. But let me tell you that your moment is now. Let me tell you that one single action that Jesus did is called dying on the cross, knowing you would mess up and knowing that you could not do anything without God's help. That's why, let me remind you that Jesus was sent to this earth by God the Father, and your identity is not based on what you have done, but is based on the love and the single act of love that he did, that you are now saved and now are commended by Jesus to go out and preach this gospel to all nations, to all people. That is what I believe God is calling us forward and to. And there will come a time, let me remind people, there will come a time where you will be pushed out if you don't want to go out. I don't know if you heard me this morning, but if you like your seat, tell the person next to you, don't get too comfortable. How many already have a name on your seat? Like, this is my seat, Pastor. Get mad with our ushers or something, you know? Hey, don't you know this is where I sit? Don't get too comfortable, because I believe God's going to say, hey, you know what? You'll no longer need a seat. You'll no longer need a seat because you are going. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 says, come now, let's settle this. Isn't that amazing? It is settled. Settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I will make them as white as wool. When you say yes to Jesus, you said yes to forgiveness. People look at forgiveness as an action, as a verb, or an adjective. But I would like to invite you to look at forgiveness as a noun, as a person, the person of Jesus. That's who he is. He is a person. He's here to tell you and remind you, you have been forgiven. All of this has been forgiven so that you would remember that he did this, so you would say yes. Not just yes to forgiveness, but yes to freedom. What we said yes to is, we said yes to freedom. So, when we look at forgiveness, all these words, salvation, hope, forgiveness, freedom, this is who Jesus is. Jesus is salvation. Jesus is hope. Jesus is forgiveness. Jesus is freedom. So when he died on that cross for you and myself, for everyone else, he died so that we get to know salvation, so that we get to know hope, so we get to know forgiveness, so we get to know freedom. But we, when we say, oh, are you in a relationship with the Lord, with Jesus? They're like, oh, yeah, I know Jesus. When was the last time you talked to people about Jesus? Well, I don't know, man. I don't feel right with the Lord. Well, do you know him? That's the question. Do you know the one who called you? When you say yes to Jesus, you do not only say yes to him, but you say yes to all of him, all who he is. And you receive freedom from the things that keep you from sharing the gospel, the things, the shame, the guilt, the getting, you know, all those backlashes. Oh, I don't preach the gospel because, man, every time I preach the gospel, man, my family gets attacked like you have no idea. How many of you guys been there? You want to know spiritual warfare? Go and save souls. Some people want to like, oh, I want to be a spiritual warrior. Well, yeah. Go and save souls and see if the enemy doesn't want to come against you. That's one of the things that God is calling us to. And if you're wondering, hey, well, I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up just right now if you could. But if you've been asking, well, how do I do this? You heard Ron say, hey, you know what? I just called this person. I talked to him about this book. I didn't get caught up in the details. I just told him exactly what was on there. But you say, hey, what if I forget it? What if I forget this book? What if I don't have that on me whenever I want to share with someone? How many of you have phones here? Smartphones. You guys may, you know, yeah? You have a dumb phone. Somebody here. That's it. Some of you guys have asked, hey, how do I get this, right? I mean, I just want to share with you, if you feel like you don't have this, you could also go online. And this is also digitally. It's given to us digitally. And we have I have a couple of just images so that to teach you how to actually get this online. You could go to sm4.org. And you can go to the next one, Manuel, and then just go click under just that little bar, and it says yes, the yes booklet. Yeah, no, the other one with the, did you go back? Yeah, saying yes to God. And then under saying yes to God, you'll go to this page, the following one. Under resources, you can go on there, and it says saying yes to God. And then go to the final one, Manuel, please. And then you'll notice that you have yes, and then you can keep continue scrolling, even on your phone right now. It's also, you can have it on your phone with you at all times. You want to share with someone about Jesus, you can do this. Just take it out and say, hey, you know what? Or even share with someone. Just say, hey, I'll send you the link. Can you read this? I'm talking about tracks. This is a neat digital way to, the new way to actually share the gospel. And all of us can do this. This booklet is a great tool. And I want to encourage everyone here who, like me, the hardest part of sharing the gospel is getting started. How do you get? Just getting off the ground. Just getting started. So when you're able to share with someone and talk to somebody, just tell them, hey, can I just read with you today what this says? And as you do that, as you share with them, whether it's at lunchtime, whether it's in your car, whether it's through phone, sharing with someone the gospel, I believe that God will be planting that seed. And once you said yes to Jesus, once you say yes to going and sharing the good news, you can let them know about these four things that they can go ahead and do. Go ahead, Manuel. You can let, five things. You can let them know. Say, hey, you know what? You need to get plugged into a local church. And then get baptized in water. Get into prayer with someone. Get into God's word and say, hey, can we read God's word together? Let's share a verse each day. And then finally is get away from sin. You know, one of the things that God challenged me when I said yes to Jesus, it was, hey, Joel, you need to start choosing different friends. And that was the hardest part because, again, these guys are the guys that, hey, I've shared life with. Like, we've gotten into so many troubles together. I'm like, man, someone knows me as these guys. But God started challenging me. Not that I would stop saying hello or occasionally say what's up, but then he's like, hey, you got to start hanging out with just people that are going to help you, so, you know, move forward. And so I had to choose different friends. It was hard. It wasn't easy. But through him, I was able to do it. And I still see him around. And they now, they still ask me, hey, how'd you do it, man? How'd you do it? And I can't tell them, oh, yeah, well, you know, I went to Bible school, or I went to this, and I did that. No, I can't, you know? I said, all I had to do is just say yes to Jesus. That's how I began. Just saying yes, one yes to him. And then from there, he takes over. And does the rest. So if you're here today and you haven't put your trust fully in Jesus, you can do it today. You can do it right now. There's no better time or place. Today is the place and the time that you can do it. He's been waiting for you to say yes for a very long time. If you backslid today and want to say yes to him today, he is here present for you as well.